You've probably all been in the situation where you may have a close friend, you may have had a child that you're about ready to send them off to college and they're going to go on their own. And you want to impart your words of wisdom to them. And you've been thinking all this thing about how you can make an impact on their lives. And so before they leave and they get in the car and they shut the door and they turn on the car and they leave, you tell them the most important thing that you want them to learn. Sometimes we have close friendships, and if you've been in the military where you get transferred all the time, you tell those people before you leave or before you get separated things that are very important to you. Because you want them to remember, and you may not get another chance to talk to them face to face. But you want that to be very important. Oftentimes we go through these situations, and then they're driving off or they're leaving, and then you come back and say, I wish I had said this. Now with cell phones and text, you can contact and do that. But back in the day when I grew up, when phones had dials and they were on a wall, okay, and you couldn't take them with you, you kind of lost the opportunity to do that. This morning, I want to talk about things that Jesus said, his last words. There were three times in the Bible that he gave last instructions to those around him or to those that were watching him. And we need to pay attention to the words of God, because in Mark chapter 13 verse 31, and this is our jump off text, we're going to go through many passages this morning. Jesus tells the crowd, he says, "Blessed heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." And we remember that God spoke the universe into being. So before there was a heaven and an earth, there was God's word. Amen. And we need to understand that we need to heed God's word. So before we go into this, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to listen to your word from the Bible. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being able to sing to you. We thank you, Lord, for being able to come to your house, Lord, and worship you. But, Lord, right now I ask that your Holy Spirit have free reign. Bind Satan on our behalf, Father, and help us, Lord, to have no distractions. Help us to focus in on you. And then, Father, we hear the message, Lord, that you've given today. Lord, help us to have it change our lives. Help us, Lord, to do its truth. Father, someone here does not know you as Savior, Lord. Today I pray that this will be the day of their salvation. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for loving us. And we thank you for what you're going to do today. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we need to take heed to the words of God. God's words are eternal. God's words are unchanging. It says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So we need to take heed of that. We need to take heed to the word of God to live. To live. I made a small reference to this when I was talking to the kids in the kids' corner here just shortly. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Christ is out in the wilderness and he's being tempted from hunger. And Satan's going to come and tempt you with something that's very close to you or something that you want right now. But look at how Christ answers this. Christ is hungry. He says, hey, if you be the Son of God, make this stone bread. But Christ quotes Deuteronomy. And here's something that we need to understand. We need to listen to all the time. But he answered and said, it is written. This is Christ talking. Man shall not live by what? Bread alone. It's not about the physical world. It's about the spiritual. It's about the kingdom of heaven. It's about Christ's words that will not pass away. Now, not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There's too many people today that say, well, I'll listen to this part and I'll ignore this part. You probably found out growing up that if you just listened to your parents a little bit, it didn't work out. If you listened to your teachers a little bit, it probably didn't work out. If you listen to your friends just a little bit, it's probably not going to work out and have a relationship. He says, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, because it won't pass away. So we need to take heed to this in order to live. We need to take heed to the word of God in a way of introduction in order to do well. In order to do well. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, it says, for we have also a more sure word of prophecy. God's word is truth. Pilate asked him before he sent him to the cross. He says, what is truth? And Christ said, I'm standing right here. He says, everyone hears my voice, knows the truth. Folks, we need to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen. It'll give you happiness. It'll give you life. It'll allow us to do what it says. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. Paul writes in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 2 of Hebrews, he says, those things that we heard, we need to do those things, lest at any time we should slip. Let them slip. We should do these things. It says, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Now, how many of you like dark? I like dark when I'm sleeping. But I don't like dark during the day. I don't like it at night. We have a security light now. It's out on the corner of our house. And there's a bush over there. And there's things that live in there that I don't like. There's skunks and possums and everything else in there. I don't like that. I want to have light there, said, that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Oh, my prayer for you today is that God, Christ, will arise in your heart today. We need to take heed to live. We need to take heed to do well. Well, I said in the way of introduction that there were three times that Christ gave some last words. He gave some last words on the cross. He gave some last words as before he ascended to heaven. And he says some last words in the last book of the Bible. And those are the three things that we're going to look at today. When Christ was on the cross, he gives a cry of completion. In the book of John, chapter 19, verses 28 and 30, we see John's account of the crucifixion. And it says here, it says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. The last words that Christ said on the cross was, it is finished. It says in the Bible, it says he cried out with a loud voice. It was a cry. It's a cry of completion. The word for it is finished is tetelestai in the Greek. It means to be paid in full. Up to the point of Christ, they were still doing animal sacrifices for sin. But now Christ dies on the cross. He is the perfect sacrifice for God. He's the one that can atone for the sins of the entire world. And he says here, it says, when Jesus therefore received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And bowed his head and gave up the ghost. See, this was a cry of completion of God's word. In verses 28 and 29 here, we see here it says that the scripture might be fulfilled. Everything that Christ said on the cross was recorded in Scripture. It was recorded in the book of Psalms. It was recorded in Isaiah. People should have known what was happening in front of them when the sky turned dark. When he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? People should have known because it was all there. And it says here that his cry of completion actually was a fulfillment of God's word. In Psalm chapter 69, verse 21, it says, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. He refused the drink as he was going to the cross, but he did not refuse the vinegar as he was on the cross, because that was to fulfill Scripture. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is the Word of God, and everything he did fulfilled Scripture.
Amen.
And we as Christians should do the same thing. So he's on the cross. It's a cry of completion of God's word that is completed, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. It's a cry of completion of God's plan for salvation. Well, I've heard it all before, but have you accepted it? If you haven't accepted it, you need to hear it again. It's a plan, God's plan for salvation. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says, herein is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Herein is love, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do what I command you to do. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or payment for our sins. That cry, it is finished, on the cross was a cry that Scripture was fulfilled. It was a cry that God's plan was fulfilled. John the Baptist, at the beginning of his message, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the what? Sins of the world. And all through his 3 years of ministry, Christ showed that he was God in the flesh, and people didn't listen. In Revelation chapter 3, 13, verse 8, it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the what? Foundation of the world. Peter talks about it. This was God's plan before heaven and earth were even created, that Christ would have to go to the cross. He said it to Adam and Eve. There was prophecy all through the Old Testament about this was going to happen here. And when Christ yelled out, it is finished, he paid the penalty for sin, which was death. He paid the penalty for your sin. He paid the penalty for my sin. He paid the penalty for the sins of the whole world. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
It was a cry of completion of God's word. It was a cry of completion of God's plan for salvation. Thirdly, it was a cry of completion for our continued access to him. In Mark chapter 15, verses 37 and 38, we see another account of this. It doesn't talk about exactly what Christ says, but it says this. In verse 37, it says, Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. What did he cry? It is finished. It is finished. And then look what happened. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. When Christ said, it is finished, Christ gave access to everyone who believed in him, access to God. Access to the Holy of Holies. Up to this point, there were in the temple, there was the holy place and the Holy of Holies. In the holy place, the Holy of Holies was separated by a veil. And the only person that could go in there was the high priest. He could only go in there once a year. If he went in, and when he went in there, he had bells on his robe and a rope on his body. And that if he, all of a sudden they didn't hear him tinkling around in there, they drug him out because God killed him. But when Christ died on the cross, that veil was rent in twain, in two pieces. And now the Holy of Holies, visible! The kingdom of God, visible, because God, Christ, did it. Romans chapter 5 verse 2 says this, by whom also we have access. Access to who? The throne room of God. The Holy of Holies. God Himself. We can pray without ceasing. Rejoice evermore. You don't have to go through some mediator, some person calls himself Father, to get absolution for your sins. You go to Christ Himself. Amen. You don't go to His mom. You go to Christ. By whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein ye stand. We sang, stand up for Jesus. You what? Ye soldiers of the cross, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It was a cry of completion of God's word. It was a cry of completion of God's plan of salvation. It was a cry of God's provision for our continued access to Him. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 19 and 20 says this, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 it says that we can boldly approach the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Folks, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can go to God Himself, the Creator of the universe, and say, I need you. I need your help. I need your grace. I need your mercy. But you can only do that through His blood. It is finished. Those three little words have so much more meaning than just that or the completed work. It allows us to approach God Himself. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Christ, by a new and living way, which He has consecrated for us through the what? Veil. That is to say, His flesh. You cannot approach God unless you have a relationship with His Son. So on the cross, Christ cries out, it is finished. A cry of completion. Secondly, Christ is buried. He raises again. He's seen by the disciples. He's seen up to 500 witnesses at once. He says, you go to Galilee. They're all assembled on a mountain in Galilee. And in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 and 9, Christ gives His next last words before He ascends into heaven. He says, where they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? People miss the point. All of them missed the point. And He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. And there's a reason for that. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and the cloud received Him out of their sight. So we've heard the last words on the cross. Now we see the last words before He ascended to heaven. I've heard all this before. You know, it's a simple faith. These are foundational truth. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. These words that He told His disciples there on the Mount of Olives is the exact same words we have to hear today. And it's a call for commitment. See, we have this issue. There's a lot of us that says, oh, I got saved, that's all I need. I got saved, that's all I need. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's all I need. Ephesians chapter 2 says, we're His workmanship, creating Christ Jesus into good works.
That's right.
It's just the beginning. See, what they asked for in verse 6, it says, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? You know what? If Christ had done that then, there was no need to work. All they would just sit back and watch God work. Yeah. Folks, we need to sit back and let God work, but we need to let Him work through us.
Yeah.
And not just by sitting.
Yes.
It's wrong to think that our work is done. It's wrong to think that. You know, this was a problem that they always had. This is one of the reasons they crucified him. Because he wasn't their king that they expected. In Luke chapter 19, verses 11 to 13, it says, "And they, as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem. And because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear." Don't get your thinking in way of God's will. There's work to be done. There's work to be done. He said, "Therefore a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come." Yeah. Occupy doesn't mean to sit.
Right.
Occupy means to serve. And then he gives the parable of 10 talents. He gives everyone a talent. 9 of them do work with it and they get more talents, more money. And they give it back to the Lord at the end. And he says, "Well done." But there was one, the worthless one, the shameful one, the evil one. He says, "I knew you were an austere man, so I just took your talent and I just hid it." Folks, it's evil to take the gift of God that we got and hide it and bury it, thinking that the work is done. The work is not done. We're supposed to use what God's given us. He's given us spiritual gifts. He's given us life abundantly, joy unspeakable, peace that passeth understanding. He's done all these things so we can work. He says, "Occupy till I come." These guys, right before they Christ ascends, and say, "Is it now time that we're going to be in the kingdom?" Nope. It's wrong to think that your work is done. It's wrong to wait until the last minute to take action.
Right.
How many in here procrastinate? Don't raise your hands. If you don't raise your hands, you're lying. This week was the last week of the quarter at school. And for 9 weeks, the students failed tests, didn't do homework, didn't do things. And then all of a sudden, this last week, "Sir, is there something I could do to improve my grade? Ma'am, is there something I could do? I really need an A in this class and I got an F." Too late. See, that's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to wait and not do something.
That's right.
Waste the opportunity.
Right.
And basically, it's wrong to wait to the last moment to do something. In Mark chapter 13, verses 33 to 37, Christ says, "Take ye heed, watch and pray. For ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants. And to every man his" what? Work. It's wrong to think that it's done. It's wrong to think that you have more time. Never put off to tomorrow what you can do today. "Behold, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch thee therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping." Oh, don't sleep. Don't sleep. "And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." Watch. Watch. He says, and he says, "It is not for you to know the times and seasons," because God knew it. He said, "If I give you a calendar, you're going to wait the last moment and then you'll start doing stuff."
Right.
He wants us to work. You know those New Testament saints? They were working as if Christ was coming back.
Yeah.
Right then and there.
Right.
And the temple hadn't been destroyed and other things hadn't happened yet.
Right.
And they were doing it. What's happened to us now?
Come on.
We think that every day is going to tomorrow will always come. Oh, never put off what God has given you today. Never lose the opportunity to do that. It's wrong to think that our work is done. It's wrong to wait till the last minute to take action. And then we need to answer the call. See, he says, but ye shall receive power. God has given us power. God has given us power. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says this, now but unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that. I can't do this. Have you tried? Have you asked God for the power? He says, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. But ye shall what? Receive power. God's given us the grace to do it. God never asks us to do anything unless he gives us the ability to do it. It's wrong to think the work's done. It's wrong to think that you have more time. Christ also has given us the proof. Well, I can't talk. I didn't go to Bible college. No, you don't. You need to know what God's done in your life. That's your testimony. That's your evidence. And then tell other people. In John, 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 and 12, it says, he that believeth on the Son of God have the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Don't play around with God, folks.
Right.
Don't play around with salvation, folks. It is an eternal consequence.
Right.
It's an eternal consequence. God has given us the power. God has given us the proof. We know if we're saved or not. Now I'll tell you something. You can't talk about something that you don't have. But if you have it, you can talk about it, because you know it to be true in your life. Thirdly, God's given us the places. God's given us the places. He says you're going to be witnesses all these places. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the utmost parts of the earth. You know why? Because that's God's plan. On the cross, Christ finished redemption. Okay? With this commission, Christ has given us the resources necessary to go out and continue the work to finish God's plan. That everyone here, in Matthew 24, verse 14, says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a what?
Witness.
A witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Folks, it was a cry of completion. It was a call for commitment. And then lastly, there's a call to come to Christ. There's a cry to come to Christ. Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 through 17. It says, and he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of the book, for the what? Time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It's a call to come to Christ. It's a call to come to Christ for salvation. If you don't know where you will spend eternity, if you died today, you know if you're going to heaven or not. You're not working on it. You either know it or not. And if you don't know heaven for sure, get saved today.
Amen.
Get saved today. And Christian, you know if you're doing what God wants you to do or not. You know if you're sitting back and saying, I don't have to do any more work, or I got more time. No. It's a call to come in Christ because the time is now. He's coming quickly. Well, I have tomorrow to make a decision for Christ. No, you don't. You're not guaranteed anything. James says that. That's why it says here, it says the time's at hand. And it says if Christ comes back and you don't have a relationship with Him, you're going to be unjust for the rest of your life. You're going to be filthy for the rest of your life. If you know Christ is your Savior, when Christ comes back, you're going to be righteous for the rest of your life. You're going to be holy for the rest, because you can't change that event. You are who you are going into eternity right now if you died. You need to be aware of that. And He says, behold, I come quickly. Are you ready? Are you watching? Are you watching? The time is now. Christ is God. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. In my neighborhood up at our duck pond, there's some people that hold out literature and have Bible studies. You go out anywhere, they see them. They're sharing their false message. We don't share the true message.
Right.
And we can lose the fight, folks, if we think that the work is done or we have more time. We'll lose the fight. We'll lose the fight. He is Alpha. You know all these religions out here? They all have one thing in common. They deny that Jesus Christ is God. Every one of them. That's all you need to know. That's why Christ said, I need to know Christ and Him crucified. That's it. That's an easy thing to do. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? You know He's the Son of God? He died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and rose again. He offers you salvation. You just ask. Pretty simple. Pretty simple. The call to come to Christ because the time is now. Christ is God. Christ is the only place, only one that gives eternal life. Neither is there salvation any other, for there is none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Verse 14, he says, and blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. The right to the tree of life, eternal life, is only through Christ. Thirdly, the enemies are out there. There's a lot of people out there that don't want you to say this. There's a lot of people out there that don't want you to hear this. He says, for what? For without are dogs and sorcerers and whores. I'm not going to get into all those things. But I want to point out the last one. And whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Don't play around with salvation, folks. I can't warn you enough.
Right.
You know if you know Christ as your Savior. You know if you say the sinner's prayer. You know if you've committed your life to Him. And if you're sitting here today and say, well, I've been going to this church for 20 years. Don't be proud. Don't be proud. The enemies are out there wanting to take it away, thinking that the work is done, thinking that there's more time. Uh-uh. It's not there. Christ is the Savior. And we are thirsty. And if you're not thirsty, then you need to be thirsty. You need to get off of what the world's given you to satisfy your thirst and get back to those that, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. In John chapter 6, verse 35, it says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. On the cross, it was a cry of completion, it is finished. Before He ascended to heaven, He says, you shall receive power and be my witnesses. The end of the Bible, He says, I'm coming back. The time is now. You need to be ready. All through this, He says, you need to be ready. We need to believe on the eternal, unchanging Word of God today.
Amen.
Don't put it off. Come and follow Him in simple faith. In simple faith. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask You this time of invitation. Father, someone's not does not know you as Savior, Lord, today, I pray that they would realize that you died on the cross for their sins, that you're buried, you rose again, that you sit in heaven, Lord, wanting to give the free gift of salvation. And Lord, they just say a simple prayer, Father, I know I'm a sinner, I can't get to heaven on my own. I know that you died on the cross for my sins, and that you were resurrected, you rose again, and you sit on heaven's throne. Jesus, forgive me my sins. Come into my life and save me. Make me Lord of your life. And make you Lord of my life. Lord, I pray that someone will say that prayer today. Lord, for us, help us, Lord, to heed your call so we could live, so we could do well. We give you this time. We ask that your Holy Spirit just work in our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.